Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission at CRI is not only to equip you with orthodox Christian doctrine, apologetic accuracy and discernment, but to help you become a faithful apprentice of Jesus Christ because life and truth matter. If you'd like to ask Hank a question, please call in now at 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. For more information about CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, go to our website at equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. As always, it is such a privilege to be in the studio. This has been one of the most interesting weeks of my life. I had my first chemotherapy session just a couple of days ago. Yesterday, I had a blood transfusion. And through it all, God has allowed me to have a strength that is beyond myself. I've often talked about this strength as uncreated energy, because only God is uncreated. And of course, we cannot know God in His ineffability. We cannot know God in His essence. But we most certainly can know God in His energies. We can experience the grace of God. We can experience that grace in such a way that what we do is to live not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. And you know, those words have rolled off my tongue for years. Today, they are an experiential reality. Well, this is a special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We're live. You can call in your questions, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. But I've invited my son-in-law into the studio. And this may seem like a bit of a gratuitous gesture, but he's not just any son-in-law. First of all, he is married to my second oldest daughter. I have three great-grandchildren as a result of this marriage, Caleb and Naomi and Luke. They're extraordinary children because Katie and Adam are extraordinary parents, raising their children in the fear and nurture of the Lord, but also with a biblical worldview that is not just focused on truth, but a biblical worldview that is focused on life. And I wanted to start this broadcast in a little different way by talking to Adam about two words. Those two words are understanding and understanding, and the two words do not have a whole lot in common. Adam, by the way, is a professor, a PhD. He is presently a professor at the Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs, Colorado. And again, I'm very, very proud of him. But I want you, Adam, if you would, to just give us a sense of what Soren Kierkegaard was talking about when he talked about those two words.
Yeah, Soren Kierkegaard says that to understand and to understand are two things, and he's drawing on the ancient Greek philosopher Socrates when he says this. Socrates had this idea that if you really knew the truth, if you really knew the right way to live, that you would do it. And Kierkegaard says, well, there's a kind of understanding for which that's true. There's a kind of understanding that if you really understand the truth, it makes its way into your life. You can't help but live in accordance with it, because to understand the truth is to see how good it is, especially when that truth is an existential truth, a truth about how one ought to live, a truth about one's life. But there's another kind of understanding. There's a kind of understanding that's very shallow, that's only intellectual, that's purely cognitive and doesn't make its way into your heart and into your life. And Kierkegaard was warning his readers, many of whom professed to be Christians but didn't seem to be living a very rich or vibrant or faithful Christian life. He was warning them about that. kind of understanding that's purely intellectual. And he said, to understand and to understand are two things. And he tells a great story about a pastor who stands up and preaches a sermon about helping the poor and immediately walks down from the stage on which he's preaching the sermon and walks by a poor man who's in need of his help and doesn't even notice that he's there. And he says, that's that kind of understanding is not the kind of understanding that we ought to be interested in as Christians. That kind of life is not the one that we ought to be interested in. We ought to be interested in cultivating the kind of understanding that not only makes us want to live in accordance with the truth, but also helps us to notice how, to see, to opens our eyes to the ways that the world needs us, opens our eyes to the needs of the poor, opens our eyes to the needs of the suffering, opens our eyes to the needs of those who do not know Jesus, and then ushers us into the kind of love of neighbor that Jesus calls us to.
And he does that in so many beautiful ways. If you give the cup of water, if you give the piece of bread in my name, you've done it unto me.
Right, right. And you mentioned Katie and I and the way we parent our children, and I appreciate those kind words. They love their grandpa Hank and their grandma Kathy and have had such a wonderful time being with you this week and seeing the model of Christian life that you give to them. And I think Katie and I have talked about this. Sometimes we feel as though maybe we don't do enough to teach our children about the doctrines of Christianity, the history of the church, theology. Our oldest Luke is 11, going on 12 years old, and we've had conversations about what we need to do to start increasing his intellectual exposure to the Christian faith, as it were. But one thing that we've always been committed to as parents, and first and foremost committed to, is we've said that the most important thing for us is that our kids learn to love God with all their heart and with all their soul and with all their mind, and to love their neighbors as themselves. That's what we want them to do as followers of Christ. We're less concerned, especially at their young ages, that they dot all their I's and cross all their T's theologically, and more concerned that they learn to love God with their whole hearts and love their neighbors as themselves. And we're trying to instill in them that kind of understanding, that kind of experiential knowledge of the truth of Jesus Christ and the truth of the way that he wants his followers to live, that makes its way into the way they treat their teachers at school, their friends, their neighbors, those who are poor and suffering in our community, and so on.
This really ties into something that I know you're trying to teach them as well. Not just them, but the wider Christian community, and that is the connection between emotion and apologetics.
Yeah, I think this is something that has unfortunately been missed by a lot of Christians who are doing good work at Christian apologetics. But I think one of the dangers in apologetics is the over-rationalization of the Christian faith, making the Christian faith a purely intellectual endeavor. Where it's just about getting all of the facts right, getting all of your biblical knowledge right, getting all of your theology right. And one of the things that I've been working on ever since I was introduced to the idea of thinking about the emotions, even as a discipline, by my dissertation director at Baylor University, a man named Robert C. Roberts, who's written a great book on the topic called Spiritual Emotions. One of the things that I've been trying to do is trying to help those who are doing work in apologetics see the importance of engaging the emotions and appealing to the emotions in the right sorts of ways. You know, oftentimes in logic textbooks, they like to point out the different types of fallacies that you can use in sort of informal argumentation, trying to convince somebody of something. And one of the fallacies that shows up in almost every logic book is the appeal to emotions. The idea being that if you're appealing to someone's emotions, well, that's not a way to get them to see the truth. That you've got to appeal to their purely rational mind if you want to help lead them to the truth. But of course, the best kind of preaching, the best kind of teaching, the kind that actually instills in us the kind of deep understanding that makes its way into our lives that Kierkegaard was talking about, that kind of preaching and that kind of teaching always appeals to our emotions, and in the process helps to form in us the right sorts of emotions, helps us to perceive the world rightly through our emotions, and I'm trying to help folks to see the importance of that in apologetics and to not lose sight of the importance of the emotional side of life, not just the intellectual.
From your perspective, talk for a moment about the significance of a ministry in a post-truth culture, standing for truth no matter what the cost, but also leading people to that second idea of understanding, not just the first, but the second notion of understanding the experience of life.
Yeah, it's so important today. You say we live in a post-truth culture. I think that's right. We live in a culture where many people are uncomfortable even talking about truth, at least in certain realms. They're comfortable talking about scientific truth, but they're not at all comfortable talking about religious truth or moral truth. And it's religious truth and moral truth that we most desperately need, and truth in the areas of religion and the areas of morality are not opposed to scientific truth, but actually enhance it and come together with scientific truth to help us to help to inform our entire worldview. And a ministry like CRI that is reaching people with truth, communicating truth to people, both biblical truth, theological truth, but also historical truth, truth about the history of the church, and philosophical and moral truth, is so critically important today, because there are so many people who are not sure that it's even acceptable to say that they believe that something is true anymore. They're not even sure that that's an appropriate thing to do. But of course, in not being sure that that's an appropriate thing to do, they're recognizing that there are certain truths about what we ought to say, what we ought to profess. So they, everyone does have a deep recognition of objective truth, but we're afraid to talk about it, at least in certain realms. And CRI helps people to know how to do that. But it's also important to get beyond just knowing the truth, right? Just having this intellectual grasp of what Christians believe, how Christians ought to live, but having that truth make its way into your life. The P in the EQUIP acronym that CRI has used for its motto for so long stands for parachurch, meaning that CRI comes along the church. It does not replace the church. It does not supplant the church, but CRI comes along the church to equip believers for evangelism and for education by providing research and by providing resources that the church desperately needs in this post-truth culture. And that's crucially important today. And it's then in the church where that truth can be combined with the profound practice of liturgy and worship and right preaching and teaching and building one another up in love that makes its way into that understanding that makes its way into our life, helps to inform how we live in love of God and in love of neighbor.
This is the second day of June, and June is, as I mentioned in yesterday's broadcast, is the end of our fiscal year, obviously not the end of the calendar year, but it is the make it or break it month. That's what I've always called it for approximately 30 years on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. What happens in June sets the tone financially for the rest of our year and what we can do in ministry outreaches around the world. And so I want to unapologetically ask people to stand with this ministry, prayerfully and financially. If there was ever a time that we needed you to stand with us, it is now. There are a lot of stories about me and where I've gone in my theology that are overblown, exaggerated, and simply not true. My legacy is in my books. My legacy has not changed. There's a story coming out in the Charlotte Observer this weekend, written by Tim Funk, who said journalism was dead. I got to peruse the story earlier. If you get a chance, you can find it online. But I think it lets you in a little bit on my journey, particularly with respect to orthodoxy, but it underscores the fact as well that I'm about mere Christianity, that this is a ministry committed to the essentials of the historic Christian faith, to unity around those essentials. At any rate, I'm asking people to stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. If you can give, give generously. I'm going to talk about some of the resources available for you when you give on the other side of the break. Stay tuned for that and a whole lot more.
When militant secularists are willing to do more for their misguided and morally bankrupt notions than Christians are for a faith that once transformed the world, you don't need to be clairvoyant to imagine the potential outcome. Stem the tide and stand with the Christian Research Institute during the month of June. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches or visit equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be back after this. A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. We are witnessing the advent of a post-truth culture wherein social headwinds against common sense and basic decency and civility are ferocious. The fact is, we as Western Christians are in the fight of our lives, and for now, we are losing on multiple fronts. That is why we want to put into the hands of thinking Christians everywhere two very timely books, Onward, Engaging the Culture Without Losing the Gospel by Russell Moore, and The Benedict Option, A Strategy for Christians in a Post-Christian Nation by Rod Dreher. These resources will equip you to do your part in turning the tide. To receive your copy of Onward and or The Benedict Option as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. We are seeing the advent of post-truth culture with ferocious social headwinds against common sense and basic decency and civility. We as Western Christians are in a fight for our lives. This is why we want to put into the hands of thinking Christians everywhere a very timely book, Onward, Engaging the Culture Without Losing the Gospel by Russell Moore. This remarkable book will equip you to do your part in turning the tide. To receive your copy of Onward, Engaging the Culture Without Losing the Gospel as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Once again, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Sort of an impromptu special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We are live. It is Friday. It is June 2nd, second day of the most significant financial month of the ministry, and we're asking people to give in a very generous way. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. You can also write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. You can also talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. A lot of people joining CRI's monthly support team. We're setting a goal this month of 100 or more people joining CRI's monthly support team. The last day of May, we had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 people join, so a very attainable goal. I think of Michael and Nancy. They're from Florida. They give $25 a month now. Nolani from Puerto Rico, $50 a month. Eric from Georgia, $25 a month. Many people give $100 a month, some $200, $500, $1,000 a month. That's between you and the Lord. But people that join CRI's monthly support team are vital to the health of our ministry. When you join, I would be pleased to personalize any one of my books to you, a family member or a friend. I also want to talk for just a few moments about the resources available this month. These are not to be taken lightly. These are apt books written at a precise moment in history when you need to read them. One of those books is called The Benedict Option. It's subtitled A Strategy for Christians in a Post-Christian Nation. It's written by Rod Dreher. And he is one of the most quotable people I've ever run across. He's a brilliant writer, happens to be Orthodox. But this book is written in a very ecumenical way. In other words, he quotes people from every single stripe of authentic Christianity you can imagine, and he does it well. But I want to just let you in on one of the quotes that is very moving on a lot of levels. And of course, I have Adam Pelser, Dr. Adam Pelser. He's my son-in-law, and just an incredibly accomplished guy. You probably could tell that if you're listening to the first segment of the broadcast. We'll talk about this together. But he has a quote about moralistic therapeutic deism. And he says, MTD is colonizing existing Christian churches, destroying biblical Christianity from within and replacing it with a pseudo-Christianity that is only tenuously connected to the actual historical Christian tradition. The problem with MTD, in both its progressive and its conservative versions, is that it's mostly about improving one's self-esteem and subjective happiness and getting along well with others. It has little to do with the Christianity of Scripture and tradition, which teaches repentance, self-sacrificial love, purity of heart, and commends suffering, the way of the cross, as the pathway to God. Though superficially Christian, MTD is the natural religion of a culture that worships the self and material comfort. I mean, that, Adam, is a paragraph that takes a lot of unpacking. And of course, he does it in the book, but it's a powerful reflection, and I think a critical reflection, on what's happening in the church today.
That's right, Hank. I think we live in a culture, and unfortunately, the church has been deeply informed by that culture of self-esteem and of comfort, where we've made comfort our God, and we've made a kind of subjective happiness our God. We want to feel good all the time. We want sermons that make us feel good. We want worship music that makes us feel good. And we want church small groups that make us feel good. And we don't want anything that really challenges us to sacrifice deeply of ourselves for others, that makes us change the way that we're living, that makes us reflect deeply on sin in our hearts, toward God or toward our neighbors, and that really is moving away from the meaning of the church. The meaning of the church is that we are to be a priesthood of all believers, helping to usher each other into the presence of the Holy God. And just as priests in the Old Testament used to go through all kinds of ritual washing and ceremony in order to enter the presence of God and to usher prayers for God's people and for the forgiveness of sins, so we too ought to take seriously our responsibility as priests in the New Testament church, as priests who usher each other into the presence of God, who intercede for each other in prayer, and who engage in regular reflection and confession, and approach God with contrite hearts and with humility, asking for His forgiveness, seeking His forgiveness, and seeking His grace in our time of need, and helping others to do the same. But that's a painful process. That can often be very painful. It can be hard to look deeply into our hearts, where sin abides, and to challenge it and to correct it, and to help others do the same. That's not the way in our culture to win friends and influence people. Unfortunately, people want niceness. They want kindness. But as C.S. Lewis points out in his great book, The Problem of Pain, there's a big difference between superficial kindness and the kind of deep love that Jesus calls us to.
You know, when you said that, I couldn't help but think that, I'm facing my own mortality. I mean, the truth of the matter is, doctors have told me I have a 9 out of 10 chance that I'm going to go into complete remission. It's going to be a tough process, but probably survive it. But who knows? But during this time, when you're in touch with your own mortality, I can't help but thinking about what you just said in a myriad of ways. I'm going to stand before God, and I suppose the crucial question is, what did I do for the least of these? I mean, I'm talking about standing in the presence of God because of God's grace through faith on account of Jesus Christ. But what did I do for the least of these? And I will tell you that is one of the things that most torments me, in the sense of wanting to be pleasing to the Lord in that moment with that question.
Yeah, Jesus tells us that when we feed the poor, and when we visit those in prison, right? When we a take care of the sick. We are doing that for him. We are taking care of him. We are serving him. And this is something that was embodied beautifully, I think, in the life of Mother Teresa, but has been embodied in the lives of so many of great Christian saints throughout history, throughout the history of the Church, who have given of themselves so deeply and so sacrificially for others, out of love for others. And we live in a culture today that everywhere we turn tempts us away from doing just that. Everywhere we turn is offering us some comfort or some pleasure, some way to spend our money, some way to spend our time that would pull us away from those who need us most. And we really have to fight against that as a church. We really have to fight against that as Christians, and help others Christians fight against that. Help to remind each other of the radical calling to which we've been called, those of us who are followers of Jesus. It's one of the reasons why the church that I attend decided to place their home, their congregation, right in the middle of downtown Colorado Springs. We're part of a larger church that's in the northeastern part of Colorado Springs that's very affluent, very wealthy. In fact, it would be very easy for me never to see a poor person if I just wanted to order my life that way. I could get to work and back, get to church and back, and never see anybody who has any kind of deep material need. Of course, they have spiritual needs. They have health needs oftentimes. But we've planted ourselves in downtown Colorado Springs because that's where many of the people with the greatest material needs are, and it's a good reminder for us every day, every Sunday when we go to church. It's a reminder that, hey, there's a world out there, and there's a world right here at home, full of people who have deep needs, and we need to show them the love and grace of Jesus.
Kind of a different show today, impromptu. I'm talking to my son-in-law, Adam Pelser, Dr. Adam Pelser. He's a professor at the Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs, Colorado, teaches philosophy, and he's been involved with the Christian Research Institute for many, many years. We might get into that a little bit in the next segment, but what I wanted to get at really is maybe a bit of Whetting Your Appetite for the book, The Benedict Option by Rod Dreher, one of the books available for those who support the ministry all this month. It's just absolutely crucial reading. When we come back from the break, I also want to talk to you about another book, Onward by Russell Moore. He's a Southern Baptist who is a brilliant writer and has put together a very timely book, a book that you need to have in your library. And that's why I've picked these two books this month. When you give a gift of $100 or more, we'll send you both the books. But please be generous when you give. This is the month in which we set the tone for the rest of the year. This ministry, of course, is not just the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We now have a digital media platform, an arsenal of broadcasts and programs and podcasts and vlogs and Facebook lives and you name it. Social media is our game right now. So we're doing a lot in that area, but we're doing things all around the world. We have the Christian Research Journal. Hope we'll be able to get to that in the next segment as well. Again, a special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Adam did not know that when he wandered into the studio, I was going to put some headphones on him, and we're going to do a special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, but I know that you're enjoying him as much as I am. We'll be back in just a few moments with more and the quote of the day.
As the erosion of truth and hostility against Christians continues to gain momentum, Christians must stand together for life and truth, no matter the cost. Stand together with the Christian Research Institute during the key month of June to end the fiscal year in a position of strength. To make a special gift to CRI, simply call 888-7000-CRI and support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. We'll be back with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, so stay tuned. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. Some might piously claim that saving our future as Christians and free people is all up to God. That's not only naive and misguided theology, it also makes a mockery of our calling to be stewards of God's creation and to be faithful in the use of the resources of time, talent, and treasure He has entrusted to us. Onward, Engaging the Culture Without Losing the Gospel by Russell Moore, and The Benedict Option, A Strategy for Christians in a Post-Christian Nation by Rod Dreher are two timely books that will equip you to stand well in our modern times. To receive your copy of Onward and or The Benedict Option as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. With over 500,000 copies in print, Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. My goal, says Hank, is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable. Receive your copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. We are witnessing the advent of post-truth culture, and it's changing the West for the worst. What's needed now in shifting times, says Russell Moore, is neither a doubling down on the status quo nor a pullback into isolation. Instead, we need a church that speaks to social and political issues with a bigger vision in mind, that of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Moore's book, Onward, Engaging the Culture Without Losing the Gospel, will equip you to refocus and make a difference for time and for eternity. To receive your copy of Onward as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Once again, here's CRI President Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. The quote of the day from Etienne Guinso. And that quote is very, very beautiful. It's a quote from Guisson, who was a very influential 20th century French philosopher who focused on modern and medieval philosophy, especially the work of Thomas Aquinas. But here's the quote. There still remains only God to protect man against man. Either we will serve Him in spirit and in truth, or we will enslave ourselves ceaselessly more and more to the monstrous idol that we have made of our own hands to our own image and likeness. The cause of so many miseries is indeed the ignorance which men have of an important message. They no longer know that a Savior is born to us. That, I think, Adam, is a quotable quote. Quote of the day is touching the lives of many, many people, but I think the profundity and the poignancy of that quote ought to touch the lives of a lot of people.
Indeed, yeah. We need to reclaim the knowledge that a Savior is born to us, that we are a people who are in need of salvation, and that salvation has come in the person of Jesus Christ. And the power of that message for a culture that is lost and in many ways damaging itself, right? Just as Gilson says, he says that we need God to protect man against man. We are our own worst enemies oftentimes. We are tempted when we are enticed by our own desires, led into sin by our own desires, is what James tells us. It is we, our sinful hearts, who are the enemy. And we live in a culture that tells us to follow our hearts and says, affirm whatever's in your heart, right? Be who you authentically are. Well, the problem with that is that authentically we are sinners. We are people who are in bondage to sin. That is who we are authentically are. But we weren't made for that. So as long as we remain in our bondage to sin, in our enslavement and entrapment to our own prideful desire to be the Lord of our own lives, we are not being authentically who we were made to be. And that is people who reflect the image of God, the image of the good and true and beautiful God who sent his son Jesus to be our Savior. And it's only through living in the truth and power of Jesus and his resurrection that we will become authentically who we were meant to be.
And that quote of the day you will find on the web at equip.org. We're posting it soon if it's not posted already. I do want to get back to the resources that we have available for those who support the ministry all this month. I mentioned in the last segment, The Benedict Option by Rod Dreher, must reading, but also Onward by Russell Moore, the great Southern Baptist writer, who says in this book that we ought to see the ongoing cultural shakeup in America as a liberation of sorts from a captivity we never even knew we were in. The closeness of American culture with the church caused many sectors of the American church to read the Bible as though the Bible were pointing us to America itself. The shaking of American culture is no sign that God has given up on American Christianity. In fact, it may be a sign that God is rescuing American Christianity from itself. We must remember that even Israel's slavery in Egypt was a sign of God's mercy. The people of God were in a strange land, not because God had forgotten them, but because he was sparing them from a famine in Canaan that would have wiped out the line of Abraham, and with it, the gospel itself. I mean, this is an apt quote from a book called Onward, not backwards, not retreat, but onward, engaging the culture without losing the gospel. And Adam, I have talked oftentimes on this broadcast about the power of one. You know, sometimes it's one book. Sometimes it's one man with a hammer and a nail. But people need to remember that one person with God is a majority, and that if we catch a passion for not retreat but onward, we can as yet redeem the time. And I suppose in all of it, a recognition that whether we win or lose a particular culture, all culture, as Lee Kuan Yew once said, is essentially flimsy. Whether we lose the culture or not is not the issue. The issue is, are we faithful?
That's right. Our job is not to make sure that our country always has a Christian culture. That would be wonderful. it really would. It would be wonderful. But our job is to love our neighbors as ourselves. In whatever context, social, political, economic context we find ourselves, we are to love our neighbors as we love ourselves, and we're to love God first and foremost and not worship any idols of our own making, not try to make ourselves the Lord of our lives. That is our job as followers of Jesus. And I think Russell Moore is exactly right. This may be a gift. The shakeup of American culture may be a gift to the church, because what it does is it makes us uncomfortable. But of course, we don't like to be uncomfortable. This is what we were talking about last segment. We live in a time where the church has bought this lie of culture that says the most important thing is that we be comfortable. But that isn't the most important thing. The most important thing is that we take up our cross and follow Jesus. Follow Jesus in love and service for others. And that's what the church has been called to do. That's the kind of that's the way to transform the world for Christ, not to sit back and be comfortable and to create a cultural environment that allows us to be so.
And there's a sense in which we can be comfortable. And what I mean by that is maybe a little bit of a play on words. We were meant to experience life in the Trinity. And that's where our real comfort level is, because when we are experiencing the triadic one, we are now complete. We are comfortable. We are enthralled, enraptured. We are transcendent. We're no longer transactional beings. We're beings that are being transformed.
That's right. But that kind of comfort, that's the sort of thing that the New Testament describes as the peace that passes all understanding. And that peace can abide even in the midst of illness, even in the midst of the death of our loved ones, even in the midst of poverty, even in the midst of persecution. We can have that deep and abiding peace of knowing that we are loved by the God who created us and who created the universe, and that He is drawing us to Him and has sent His Son Jesus to participate in this human life and to show us what it is to be like God and to draw us into His presence.
Just a few critical moments left on this broadcast, Adam, but you started with this ministry a long time ago as an intern. And you worked in the library, and you did many, many things. You did research for me. Talk about the significance of this ministry. People hear me on the broadcast. They're now becoming familiar with Facebook Live, and I got a new podcast coming up, and vlogs, and using the digital media platforms. But we have an award-winning magazine, I've said this a few times, but I really mean this. This particular issue of the Christian Research Journal, I think, is the best one I've ever seen. Of course, the cover story is my story, but it's another story. I'm just joking about that. But the cover story and the Sunni-Shia split, it is a story of intrigue. You don't want to miss that story. But this is I'm just flipping through it quickly. The human embryo, potential person or person with great potential. I mean, this is a critical question, particularly with reproductive technology. So the journal, it hits on so many levels. And if you're not subscribing, subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Do it today. It'll make a difference in your life. It's an award-winning magazine. The presentation, as well as the content, are extraordinary. Just go to the web at equip.org and subscribe. But Adam, many other ministries, we only have a couple of moments, but I want to underscore why people are exploring a ministry and supporting a ministry that is making a difference for time and for eternity.
Well, look, everywhere I go, I talk to people about this ministry. I when they find out that I'm related to you, they say, oh, I've been listening to him on the show for so many years. Or, oh, when I was a teenager, I spent so many years listening to the Bible Answer Man show, or reading the articles on equip.org, reading CRI's resources, and it's made such a difference in my life. And I hear this primarily from folks in the academic community. These are folks who have PhDs. They've gone on to do graduate work. They're Christians who are engaging the academic world, and for them, CRI was a really important part of their growth in their faith. And you mentioned the journal. I think the journal is one of the premier, maybe the premier, a resource out there for the church that takes the best of Christian scholarship and Christian research and makes it accessible to the church. So even if you think, well, you might not be interested in every single article for yourself. Well, yeah, but it might be a resource that you can use to help someone else in your church, someone in your neighborhood, someone in your Bible study. You might be able to use that journal, an article that comes up to answer a question that comes up in the context of your daily life and your faith. And so it's vitally important to I think support this ministry. I would encourage everybody to do it. It's obviously been an important part of my life. Getting to be a part of it has been incredibly educational for me. Helped me to grow in my own faith, but I know it's helped so many others as well.
Adam Pelzer, he is my son-in-law. I'm so proud of him, and obviously he's got his own legacy and. But I'm proud he's my son-in-law. Thank you for tuning into this special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. I'm sorry I didn't take any questions today, but starting next week, I will remedy that woeful condition. I'll be taking your questions. But I did want to underscore how important it is for you to stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. I wanted to highlight the resources available for those who support the ministry all this month. So please be generous. And remember, we could not do what we do around the world without you. Life and truth really do matter. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for tuning into the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Our website, equip.org, has an abundance of resources to sharpen your discernment skills and help you grow in life and truth. We provide books, videos, and informative articles. You can also listen to the broadcast live, download archived programs, get answers to pressing Bible questions, follow our blog, or connect with us via social media. All this and more at equip.org. Again, the address is equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. We are witnessing the advent of a post-truth culture wherein social headwinds against common sense and basic decency and civility are ferocious. The fact is, we as Western Christians are in the fight of our lives, and for now, we are losing on multiple fronts. That is why we want to put into the hands of thinking Christians everywhere two very timely books, Onward, Engaging the Culture Without Losing the Gospel by Russell Moore, and The Benedict Option, A Strategy for Christians in a Post-Christian Nation by Rod Dreher. These resources will equip you to do your part in turning the tide. To receive your copy of Onward and or The Benedict Option as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell.
In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org.